I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand on the iHeart app. And you could, it's a podcast version of the show. It's the same thing. You could hear what you missed. 877-MOIST-86 for tomorrow, 24 hours from now. We're going to have two rounds of the Moist line. And we got a little bit of room left if you want. So give a call and unleash whatever you want to unleash. I got slightly confused. I was trying to promote too many things at once, which happens. I want to address that massive trash pile up at the home in Fairfax that Karen Bass tried to fake indignation. And Katie Arislavsky, the councilwoman, tried to fake indignation when records show that neighbors have been complaining for 10 solid years about this crazy guy who piles up 5-6 feet worth of trash. 5-6 feet high, the trash covers the entire yard. And also, I want to get Michael Monks on another story, not entirely unrelated, though. And it's about how city council is looking at, I think it's Katie Arislavsky again, about creating a special area where the homeless can live in RVs on a city street. So let's get Michael on.
Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm all right. So what is this proposal about? This is about homeless living in RVs and it being legal.
Actually, what happened in the Transportation Committee is that they want to stop the homeless camps and RVs in certain parts of the city. So what they've heard, like you just mentioned in Fairfax, neighbors continuously complaining about the dangers, the filth that might accompany some of these camps. And so this is actually in Councilmember Heather Hutt's district, District 10, and she represents areas of town like West Adams, Baldwin Hills, Mid-City, and there are a lot of these camps around the 10. And so she was able to push through 4 ordinances through the Transportation Committee by votes of 4-1, with 4 different council members signing on to each one differently to say no more RVs camped out on about 14 different blocks in her district between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So essentially banning them from overnight camping.
Did this come up, though? Katie Arislavsky wants to explore setting up RVs as temporary housing on Cotner Avenue, which runs along the 405 in West L.A. Did that come up during this meeting?
not during the transportation committee meeting, but I think what you're finding is as they stop folks from camping in one area, where do they go? So they're probably dealing with having to find a designated area to accommodate these folks and these large vehicles.
Right, because there's on Contner Avenue, there's already a massive amount of RVs there and disgusting trash and really weird, sick characters.
Well, I was just going to say that's what one of the issues is that this is only in one council district, but as we know that these camps exist all over the city and the county. And so this is only 14 different blocks where they would now be banned. And so I haven't heard yet about whether there will be an effort from other council members to try this in their own districts. But these four different ordinances addressing 14 different blocks, again, in like West Adams, Baldwin Hills, Mid-City, all north of the 10, they're going to be banned from camping out from the hours of 2 to 6, which would make it illegal for them to be there overnight.
Well, that's what they do in normal cities. I mean, most cities... right here in Burbank. I was just going to a restaurant in Burbank the other day, and I'm parking on a block, and they have signs. You can't park between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. And, you know, at first glance, it's like, why do they do that? But it's to keep people from parking their RVs and living overnight in residential areas in front of people's homes. So the Transportation Committee was mostly for this because in the past, they have blocked all this stuff. You know, this has been going on for many years, this RV living.
It has. And so it's interesting that recreational vehicle or RV are not specifically cited in these, and homeless people are not specifically cited in this. They use language that addresses vehicles that are, quote, in excess of 22 feet in length or over 7 feet in height between the hours of 2 and 6 a.m. and then identify the 14 different blocks north of 10 where this is no longer allowed. There was, of course, some pushback from the Los Angeles Community Action Network, who say that this is another step that the council is taking to criminalize homelessness where the folks will go.
Good. Yeah, I guess that's why it needs to be done. We got to start criminalizing homelessness. Got to start criminalizing having a disgusting RV in a residential neighborhood, and they unleash all their toxic human waste. That's part of the problem. See, that's what these homeless advocates never discuss or address, is what do you do with all the fecal waste and all the garbage and the urine and everything? Because there's nowhere to put all that. And it ends up creating a big stream running down the road.
Yes, and one of the activists from LA Can mentioned specifically that the council seems to prioritize those who already have houses or operate businesses in these areas over the homeless folks.
Yes, they do. You know, I think everybody's got to start embracing this idea. Yes, we are going to embrace people who go to work every day and have bought a home and have a job, and they get embraced first. And the guy who spends his day in the RV smoking weed or snorting meth or snorting heroin or fentanyl, whatever the hell he's doing, no, you're not going to be embraced. You don't get priority anymore. You know, we want to take you out into the desert. Did they discuss that at all about just...
Well, you've heard from residents, of course, who say that this is a neighborhood where, you know, when you buy a home, that's the largest investment that many people will ever make in their lives. And there's a certain depreciation that may be associated with the environment if these camps are allowed to continue. That's what we've heard from residents. That's what you've seen in media reports.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Residents. Guy opens a meth lab on in front of your driveway. And, gee, would that hurt property values a bit?
Probably.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, so that's good news. The Transportation Committee approved that. Now it's going to go on to the full council?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, John. Thanks a lot.
All right. And that is as Michael Monks from KFI News. When we come back, I'm going to talk about, well, we got a couple of things. I want to talk about, we got to keep hammering Karen Bass here and Katie Arislavsky, because these frauds have to be driven out of office. I am completely fed up with Karen Bass because she's a fake. For 10 years, they've had the garbage piling up on the Fairfax house. 10 freaking years. And now she comes out and says, well, this is, you know, the seems all kinds of righteous indignation. We'll play you the clip. And Katie Arsofsky saying it's unacceptable. Yeah. Well, it was acceptable for 10 years. And now today, because Channel 5 ran a TV story, now it's unacceptable. The patience is gone. Completely dried up.
18-year-old mom in 2021. A $30,000 reward has been offered in Santa Ana for information leading to the conviction of a fatal hit-and-run driver a year ago. President Biden will travel to Baltimore tomorrow to visit the site of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. We'll check your drive on the 5, and we'll also check in with the KFI in the sky next.
If you're hurt in an accident, you call Sweet James. That's what I do. I know which team I want on my side, and that's Sweet. That's the attorney's Sweet James. They don't just win, they win the most. Here's an example. One of my listeners injured after being rear-ended at a red light. The insurance company offered them $60,000. Now, that might seem like a lot.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Would you believe these communist socialists, LA City Council members, were actually celebrating the one-year anniversary of Measure ULA? This is the real estate tax that they slapped on people. If you sell a house for more than $5 million, the city steals 4% of the tax with a tax, 4% of the sell price. So that would be, how much would that be? That'd be $200,000 they take. Can you imagine? You sell a house for $5 million, and it was Nithya Raman, Bob Blumenfeld, and Hugo Soto Martinez. These are dyed-in-the-wool socialists. And so if you enjoyed a big real estate increase on your property, you got to pay 4% tax and a 5.5% charge if it sells above $10 million. And they were so thrilled because they got $215 million for the first year, and they're going to waste that money on all their corrupt criminal homeless programs. And, of course, they claim this is going to generate an unprecedented amount of money for affordable housing production. They have been trying to build affordable housing for 10 years. I think Karen Bass admitted that they've only placed 42 people in permanent housing, 42. And when Garcetti left about a year ago, the price of building one apartment, one unit for a homeless person was over $800,000. In other words, it's approaching $1 million per unit. So this $250 million that they stole from people is not going to change very much at all, but it's going to enrich the politically connected people who are politically connected to Nithya Raman and Bob Blumenfeld and Hugo Soto Martinez, and they believe in taxing property owners and taking their wealth and giving it to these vague, amorphous government programs, which do not work, which fail. Daily Mail has, it's funny how the Daily Mail in London keeps coming up with these Los Angeles stories that the Times doesn't touch. The wealthy real estate market has collapsed in Los Angeles. Collapsed. The number of single family homes in the $5 to $10 million range went from 366 sales in the 12 months before the tax to 166 in the year since. So the market collapsed from 366 to 166. These are the homes that would fall under the tax. And it hasn't come close. While they were celebrating the $215 million they stole, it hasn't come close to what they thought they were going to get. The luxury house sales have dropped 70% in the first year, and rich people are now choosing to live outside the city in Beverly Hills, Malibu, and Santa Monica. And because there are few people who want to live in LA if they're wealthy because of the tax, housing prices for these mansions have dropped significantly. They use one example here. A Tarzana mansion has dropped from about $18 million to $15 million. Here's another one in Pacific Palisades that slashed its price by $600,000. So prices on wealthy mansions being slashed because there aren't that many buyers anymore. And the wealthy people, a lot of them sold right before the deadline last year of March 31st. So there was a huge bulge in wealthy sales before the law went into effect. They thought they were going to get $700 million. Now they're only getting $200 million. But they had a celebration anyway. And boy, you can count on the progressives in the news media to present it as a celebration. It's not a celebration of stealing $200 million. It's a disappointment that they didn't steal $700 million. And the rich people figured out a way around it. You know what they're doing? Well, they either sold before April 1st of last year, or some of them have carved up their property, let's say, into two parcels and sell them separately. And then you don't have to pay a tax on either one, the mansion tax, right? You get each parcel to fall below $5 million, you get around it that way. Or you don't sell them at all, which has helped to freeze the market. And then other people don't want to buy into the market because in case they're selling in a few years, they don't want to give up 4 to 5% of the sale price. And this is what happens when you have socialists get involved in trying to regulate private real estate markets. Of course, they've never owned expensive real estate because they don't work. They're parasites that work for the government and they live off our tax money. They don't run businesses. They don't know how to run businesses. They're not successful in business. Their joy in life is stealing money from successful people and then giving it to their politically connected friends who successfully spend that money on scam homeless nonprofits, scam contractors who build million-dollar units for the underprivileged. They have a racket, and what they do is they tax other people's successes. Now, when we come back, I want to finally get to the we'll play this story again, because this doesn't happen very often, where you could really show how inept and foolish and embarrassing our government is in Los Angeles about the Fairfax trash house. Finally, Karen Bass sent the cleanup team and claimed ignorance, and Katie Yaroslavsky declared that it's unacceptable. 10 years of complaints. 10 years. Wouldn't you love to see the paperwork? 10 years. This crazy guy has been dumping garbage and it piled up about 6 feet high, covered an entire front lawn. There was a car buried under it. We'll get to that coming up.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. Conway coming up in about half an hour. All right. You know what? If there's one thing I could do, right, one wish I would have, I want to make government workers' days as miserable as possible. dealing with nothing but angry taxpayers complaining about how lazy and stupid they are, sitting in their offices, sitting in their maintenance yards, and refusing to do basic work. The pothole thing in my town on the west side is so bad, and we've talked about it on the air, and I see people are writing about it online all over the place, and Karen Bass and whatever passes for that Department of Transportation, you big fat slugs, get off your asses and fill the potholes once and for all. People are wrecking their cars right and left in Los Angeles, and it's on all the roadways, and I don't get it. Everyone's called 311. Everyone's gone online and filled out your stupid form. Everyone's done what you asked, and it's been a month now, and they don't fill the potholes. Now, it's not that hard. And then in Compton, you had that couple. We had them on the air. You might have heard them. They filled the potholes on their own and got a cease and desist order from a lawyer for the city. So I'm going to play again, because maybe some of you, I played this earlier, but we have a huge chain turnover in listenership over the hours. And I want everyone, as many people as possible, to hear Karen Bass and the city councilwoman, Katie Yaroslavsky, in the Fairfax District, do an absolute acting job, faking it, that they're outraged and upset that that guy in the Fairfax District was allowed to dump his garbage for years until you had a huge garbage dump in his front yard that was 6 feet high. You listen real closely now to Karen Bass and Katie Yaroslavsky, and they're just brazen phoniness. Play cut two first.
But some residents now worry this might just be a temporary fix.
It's nice, but...
And this is Carlos Saucedo from the KTLA.
From filthy clutter to cleared outdoor space. Sanitation workers, some wearing hazmat suits, spent the day removing mountains of debris from this Fairfax home on Martel Avenue, dubbed the Trash House. Buried under the piles of rubbish, vehicles like this Toyota Celica.
It's sad, you know, that it's gotten this bad and it's taken this long.
City workers seen here speaking with the homeowner, who at times appeared confused, even upset about his belongings being cleared away.
I hope they get the homeowner some help for whatever this problem is, because it's mental. It's not, you know, it's not the trash. It's the problem with the person who's collecting the trash.
Sanitation trucks and street service vehicles hauling away broken glass bottles, stinky food waste, and other items. The home cited close to 24 times in the last decade, but neighbors say complaints were never addressed until KTLA got involved this week.
I don't know how to describe this any other way than to say that this is just a tragedy.
L.A. Mayor Karen Bass not mincing words as she toured the trash site Wednesday morning, saying she just learned of the problem 24 hours ago. The Department of Building and Safety declaring the property an imminent health and safety hazard.
This, to me, is a public health emergency. This is a fire hazard. And I worry about the individual there.
It's unclear why the city didn't take action sooner.
It is unclear.
Katie Yaroslavsky says she's been aware of the issue for months.
It's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And we're going to be doing outreach to the community to make sure they know that our office and the mayor's office are resources, connecting them to our field staff.
But some residents now worry this might just be a temporary fix.
It's nice, but what's going to happen once they leave? Is he going to start all over again?
And we made multiple attempts to speak with the homeowner. He did not want us on the property. He's been allowed back into the house. But again, he's also been offered help from city crews.
Loony bin. That's where he goes. He goes in the loony bin. That's what they used to do to people who've completely lost their minds and are not only not functioning properly, but they're a danger to others. That thing could have burst into flames and ended up burning down the whole neighborhood. And for Karen Bass to say, well, this is a public health emergency. Oh, really? 2014 is when the first complaints were filed. 2014. Katie Yaroslavsky said she's been aware of this for months. You did nothing, Katie. You sat on your ass again, didn't you? Just one like when the naked woman was sleeping on the sofa in La Cienega. You just sit there. And my field staff, your field staff isn't worth poop. Your field staff does nothing. The Department of Sanitation, all those lug nuts, they do nothing. They sit in the yard and they drain beer. That's all. They don't work. Nobody works. And then you TV cameras? Oh, I'm there. I'm there. This is a public health emergency. Play that Karen Bass clip. Cut one. Play that.
This, to me, is a public health emergency.
Emergency.
This is a fire hazard.
Yeah.
And I worry about the individual there, this place catching fire, him losing his life.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. 6 feet of garbage. Probably it was higher than Karen Bass. She was probably looking up at the top of the garbage pile. They found a Toyota Celica underneath. Did you catch that? They found a car underneath. How long does that have to go on where you're... He's only taking out one garbage bag at a time. I mean, was he taking other people's garbage or was just what he generates? So you'd have to take months and months and months of garbage to create an entire yard 5 feet high and cover up a car.
And you know those rats that I was talking to you about earlier?
Yeah.
They were huge.
Yeah.
They weren't just small rats.
Wow.
They were big.
This is a
they were eating a lot of stuff.
It's a Las Vegas buffet for them. This is rat heaven. This is rat heaven. And I bet you, see, this is the stuff we can never find out. I mean, I wish I had the time. I'd go in there and I'd find every citation and read every single citation, every date, and let's see who reacted to it. Maybe somebody, maybe the field staff for Katie Jaroslawski. Or her previous, lughead, Paul Koretz, the old councilman, Eric Garcetti. Who runs the sanitation department? How many people don't respond to a complaint? And I'm saying this especially because now we've got potholes everywhere. Oh, and there's another rainstorm coming. And they're not filling them. And these are big. I mean, these are chasms. They're canyons. And the Karen Bass crowd does nothing. But, you know, give us another lecture on diversity, equity, and inclusion, okay? Because that's more important than filling my freaking pothole or bulldozing this guy's front yard. By the way, somebody put him away. Somebody put him away. He needs to be in a mental institution. And what I notice is the neighbors, and maybe this is why they got stuck with it for 10 years, they seem to be more worried about him than worried about the danger in their neighborhood from having all that garbage. And by the way, who do you think that attracts? That attracts all kinds of undesirables because they think people in the neighborhood don't care. I don't understand how that happens for 10 years. I don't understand. And I'm sure these people were complaining, but were they just making phone calls, filling out paperwork? Really, eventually you got to go to somebody's office and stand on their desk and start screaming at them. 10 years. I guarantee you, this never would have happened in the little town I grew up in. They would not, and wouldn't happen in my neighborhood now. I wouldn't wait 10 years. If I had a guy next door to me can you imagine living next door to a guy?
Well, what would you do?
I'd go to Katie Jaroslawski's office, and I stand on her desk, and I wouldn't leave.
What if she doesn't do anything? And you're living next to
I'd start a protest movement. You have to make their life miserable. What you have to do is follow them around and make their life miserable until she surrenders and gets rid of all the, legally, of course. Be polite.
Of course. Oh, I would die if I was next to that house.
What?
I'd
start filing lawsuits. I'd file lawsuits against that guy. I'd file lawsuits against, it's what you have to do. You have to go to war.
But all that takes time. Meantime, you're next to that trashy house. With the rats.
I'm not going to put up with it for 10 years. That's all I'm saying. Not 10 years. And you wouldn't either.
No. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't put up with it for a week.
I'll lug out the stuff myself.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, unless I was wearing two hazmat suits. And I don't even know then if I would.
Yeah, I don't think you'd handle the rats either.
No. And you know I love animals. And not that I want anything harmed. I don't want the rats harmed.
You don't love rats.
I don't love them.
No, you don't like them.
I don't.
If they all died tomorrow, it's a happy day.
No, I want
get them out. Kill them all.
No, just let them go elsewhere, just not around my house.
Let them go elsewhere.
Yes. Let them be free in a rat farm or something.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Just a couple of odds and ends. This is a federal story, but they're doing an investigation. Congress is the chairwoman, Virginia Fox, of the House Education and Workforce Committee. They passed a huge spending bill for COVID relief a few years ago. And it included $86 billion to bail out employer and pension funds because the unions pushed for it. And now they're doing an investigation because apparently the government agency made $127 million in payments to 3,500 dead workers. 3,500 dead people got government payments. All right, now this. I want to play cut number five here before we go. And this is a crazy person who's been running across the San Fernando Valley, smashing windows of parked cars with bricks.
Captured on camera once again, keying a car, the woman's random reign of crime now over as she's behind bars.
I don't know why she did it. I don't know what's her purpose.
It's a question so many victims are asking after her brazen brick attacks and vandalism. Madai Batista's van and two other vehicles targeted Tuesday afternoon in Burbank.
She threw a brick on the windshield. And basically, that's all she did, and then she picked it up and left.
The police department had seen the story circulating on the news, and we believe, based on the witness accounts and description, this to be the same suspect.
Identified as Lisa Jones, the 30-year-old now facing felony vandalism charges. Her alleged crime stretching from Venice to Woodland Hills to downtown L.A. That's where Konstantin Ivanin's car was keyed in a parking garage in March.
Got her key out, keyed my entire passenger side, and just kept walking. I'm just happy there weren't bricks around. That would have been worse.
Like all the other victims, he thought he was the only one targeted until he saw our story.
I look at the ABC 7 video and I'm like, hold on, it looks kind of familiar.
All of the videos of the attacks and good old-fashioned detective work between West LA and other agencies helping track Jones down. Investigators arresting her around noon. They didn't find the brick in her car, but say there were other items tying her to the crime.
At this point, police don't know what Jones's motive was. It's all part of the ongoing investigation as they continue to tally up the damage from her alleged crimes.
Another person who should be locked up in a mental institution, right next to the guy with the garbage dump in his front lawn. You know that you never used to hear these stories. And now every day, and there's several of them, and they used to remove these people from society and put them away, and now they won't, and they have to start again because your car's getting smashed, and you're living next door to the huge garbage dump, and you've just got to, like, not put up with this. I mean, what? I mean, she's driving from Burbank to Woodland Hills. And what's going to happen to her? She's, going to be released on no bail. And she's still going to be a crazy lunatic. And she's still going to find a brick. And she's still going to be whipping those bricks through your car.
Deborah and I better watch out. Burbank to Woodland Hills, that's our route to work.
Exactly, yeah. No, I was going to ask Deborah. She's heard about this. Because something else for her to stay up all night over. Conway.
You know, doesn't this sound like Deborah just minus the brick? I mean, doesn't it sound like everything else is her?
You waited until she left.
Right.
She's in the elevator. She's not going to hear you.
Of course. I'm a coward.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a huge coward. But the craziness, the look at me, the selfies, the whole run. Sorry, Deborah.
You're not going to suck me into this.
You got to deal with her all day.
You have a fixation on her. You do.
I don't. I really like her. Uh-huh. But she's easy to make fun of.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just can't resist every time you see her.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty good. But I have a weird relationship with her. I like her a lot. And she has good taste in restaurants. She goes to new restaurants and talks about them. And I always listen to that because she knows what's going on out there.
You don't go to them.
I mean, occasionally I go.
You just go to Wendy's and
I like Wendy's.
Yeah, Bob's Big Boy.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All my $20 guys are there now. Man, we had some. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but we had, somebody on the air here, and they said that this $20 an hour is not going to affect anybody. That's blown up like a big bowl of S. It's affected everybody. Everyone's paying more or getting fired or reducing their hours. No. It's over.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's a wholesale disaster for everybody.
Yeah, whoever believes that hasn't the slightest idea how a business runs or how an economy works.
It was an economist from Berkeley that said it.
Yeah.
He said $20 an hour will be good for the fast food business. No,
that's how inflation gets created.
Right.
Because now the price of food is going to go up at these restaurants, and people are going to demand raises to cover their food bills, which that's how the spiral goes.
And at Burger King, there's one meal that went up for $2, $2 overnight. You know, that meal wasn't, it's $14, was $14, now it's $16. Yeah. But yesterday, 2 days ago, that meal was $14, now it's $16. That's a big jump for people like that.
And nobody wants to, peel off a $20 bill and all you've had is a Burger King lunch. That doesn't feel good. That's depressing.
A friend of mine lives in Connecticut. He's got three kids. So he went with his wife and his three kids to McDonald's. $98. $98.
I believe it.
Yeah, $98 or Burger King. What are those choices?
Yeah.
But he put the receipt online. $98.48 or whatever it was.
No, that's crazy. Destructive.
Too much money.
And a lot of these fast food workers are losing their jobs. They don't know it.
I know.
They're too dumb to know
what's coming.
They're going
away. They're going away, and it sucks.
It's going to be AI and automation.
Fast food will forever work beautifully.
Yeah.
Perfectly. And I'll prove that. You go to In-N-Out, and there's literally sometimes 60 cars in line.
Yeah.
Where else do you get 60 cars in line? Post office? No. Bank? No. Nowhere else. We enjoyed the prices, and we enjoyed the food. We like the food. We like the prices. And now it's over.
Yeah.
All right. Alex Stone is coming on. Big story. The tens of millions of dollars stolen from a massive movie. It's like a movie heist. And we'll have him on talk about that. Kevin LeGrette is in charge of sports here at iHeartMedia. And he's gone 18-3 in March Madness. And over the last four games, he went 4-0. So we're going to try to figure out and make some money over the weekend on this final four. And then Dean Sharp is coming on as well, 6:20. Plus, there's a bunch of kids out in the hall. There's a college they're broadcasting. And they're going to come in and, I don't know.
Watch you?
I guess. Watch what not to do. They're here to make Ken. Is that too late?
No. I'll text you his address.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Send him on a bus trip.
Ding dong with you, buddy.
How much money you can make in the business. We've got Ashley Johnson live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.